What's happening? How you doing, man? Happy Sunday. And no matter what type of father they claim that you are, man, happy Father's Day to everybody out there that could be watching at this time or a later time. Clash at the Castle has happened. And there's a lot to talk about, believe it or not. So let's just get down to it, man. Let's talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. Let's get ready for the first Black Champ podcast. And yes, I'm still the pig podcast and the kind of champion. Be sure to acknowledge me, Darren from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. That Barber's Chair Network is the home, as Cam does the gigolo Jimmy Dale Ray.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Rest in peace to the legend. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network. Also, make sure you click the link in the bio and grab that merch. Also, follow us on everything, dfbc.pod. Look at that, Father's Day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Father's Day gifts and stuff like that. So y'all make sure that y'all go ahead and connect with us on every level. Yes, Clash of the Castle, not to be confused with Clash of the Champions. Clash at the Castle.
Yes, never happened confused with
yesterday afternoon. Yeah, never be confused on that. But that happened yesterday afternoon. Finally got a chance to watch it this morning because I was off doing Juneteenth festivities with the family. You know?
Oh man, early. Juneteenth,
yeah. It's the 19th, but
oh, okay. You know, y'all really black. Okay, back.
Yeah, we was over people. You know, already know what happened at Pee Wee House.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hey, matter of fact, shout out to just being over there.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But no, I was chill because I had at least 20 Mexican mules between Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hey. Shit's free.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay.
Everything
makes sense.
Everything makes sense. But finally got a chance to watch Clash of the Castle. I watched the first match before we left, which was Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles kicking it off, as they should have, because we knew what the main event of the night was going to be. Yeah. Got a chance to watch the rest. So, as I ask you after every PLE now,
yeah,
did it feel like a house show to you?
Man. You know what? No, you know, I'll keep it real on this one, man. This one didn't really feel like a house show to me. This felt like, again, like a tier B PLE, but I got to stop saying that. And I want to stop saying that by saying this, man. Shout out to all of these overseas, European, UK, just other country crowds. Man, listen, from the opening intro and the bell, they make me want to be a better wrestling fan. I ain't gonna cap to you. Like, they know the words to the songs. It'd be in complete English. I can understand everything. They are so appreciative of just the one that everybody came. That's what she said to pause. Out to do their event. But most importantly, man, like the energy, man, you can feel it through the stream. Like, they really represent. We're going to start having conversations about how some of these other country crowds might be in that top 5 to 10 now. Because, man, they really show out. And for me, Bang, that's what makes this feel like it's bigger than a house show.
Oh, I'll go further. Hmm. If I'm an American fan, I'm looking at these overseas fans and being like, damn, they way better than we are. Yeah. They are. And we need to step our game up.
Yeah.
Or you're going to see more and more PLEs go over there.
Man, listen.
Like, if I'm Hershey, Pennsylvania, I need to step it up.
Hey, for real. You better be happy when some music hit out this motherfucker.
Yeah, you better be happy in this motherfucker. If I'm Las Cruces, New Mexico, like, I need to step this shit up.
Yeah.
El Paso, Texas, I need to rep Eddie Guerrero.
Man, listen.
Heavy.
Straight up. It's amazing, man. I'll admit, like, you know, obviously we're spoiled to a degree because everybody has to live in the States. So, you know, even the overexposure to seeing them on social media in so many different areas, you know, they're going to be in a city near you if they're not going to be in your city. And man, it's classic American entitlement at this point, man, because I see now why. Like, now I'm also super convinced that all the slander for wrestlers is only coming from Americans, because damn, do they get love, like an unbelievable amount of love. Like, they're still treating them like superheroes. They're still treating them like, you know, top tier movie stars or top tier athletes. And we just don't have that anymore. And it's sad. It's sad, because I do believe you're right. Because, man, if now what if that was it? They just called the UK invasion. What if they have like another invasion, but they only doing Raw and SmackDown overseas, and that's what's going to be live, and that's what's going to be the PLEs? Because you got to go where the love is. You got to go where the love is, and so it makes a lot of sense, man. But you are absolutely right. We Americas. We got to step it up as far as crowd at these house shows, at these Raws, at these SmackDowns, at these PLEs, or else you're going to see the tide turn.
And right, yeah, these non-American PLEs feel like Super Bowls.
Man, listen.
Puerto Rico felt like a Super Bowl. Clash at the Castle last night felt like a Super Bowl. Anytime you go over Saudi Mania 1-6,
yeah,
feels like Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Outside of Chicago, not saying it because I'm from there, but outside of like Chicago, New York at the Garden.
Yeah.
It don't feel like the Super Bowl.
For sure.
It feels like, thank y'all for entertaining us. As y'all should.
Yeah.
Like, this is what y'all should be doing. You go to some of these other spots, it's like, yo, we about to turn up. It feels like a Super Bowl-like atmosphere. Yeah. Now, for this PLE felt like, all right, this PLE felt like the Road to SummerSlam start.
Mm.
It felt like the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
Like, King of the Ring felt, we there.
Yeah.
It's lit, though. But it's the King of the Ring, and it was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah,
right? Because... especially with who won, we picked them and all of that stuff. And as wrestling fans, we're going to do that. And it was an upset here on the show. But we kind of had an idea of what Clash of the Castle was going to look like, especially with the main event of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But even with those matches, we knew what was going to be the outcome. It felt like the start of the Road to SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. We got Money in the Bank coming up next month in Toronto. And then after that, we got SummerSlam. So it felt like we were on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But Royal Rumble, whatever's in between, and then WrestleMania, Clash at the Castle, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam. So let's go ahead and get into that real quick. Let's actually start with the way that it ended. Now, on this show, I'm not even gonna call this a bang be knowing moment. I think that it was the writing was on the wall. CM Punk was gonna cost Drew McIntyre the world championship.
Yeah,
it just feels like to me that the WWE had or has no intention yet, keyword is yet, on putting a belt on Drew McIntyre, and CM Punk is coming off of his injury. And they don't have any plans on putting it on him, which goes into probably one of the most anticipated grudge matches of all time. But CM Punk, as the referee, comes in, don't count the three, kicks Drew McIntyre in the ding ding, and then you got, you know, Damian Priest. And shouts out to Damian Priest for continuing that match off of a scary botch where he could have fucked all this shit up. But I'm going to start with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. Is this the most anticipated match on SummerSlam?
If we're talking SummerSlam, yes. Yes. And this it's very interesting, man. Again, like as you said, Bang, we said like weeks, maybe even a month ago now that this is going to like culminate at WrestleMania. But man, they're doing a hell of a job with this buildup. They haven't had one match yet, And this has been a top three story, and probably not three, depending on how you're gauging your stories in wrestling, the entire front half of the year. We're in June now, and now this has just been reignited. It's interesting, because in a time where we don't really salute the storytelling as much anymore, and it's more about like the five-star match or just the actual match or the actual like spots and moments, man, they are killing the storytelling of all of this, because it literally started with the Royal Rumble and wanting to be the champ. But now they've totally got sidetracked on the title, even though Drew's been going after titles. But the real story is, nah, you got to deal with me. and even though they both got injuries, it's still like, man, salute to both of these gentlemen, because they're telling the hell out of the story that really all started just because they want to be the best. And yo, what guys don't identify with that?
Yeah, this is a masterclass of storytelling. No match needed, just a couple of incidents and them talking shit. And it's going to culminate in what I believe is the most, not only the most anticipated match at SummerSlam, it's the most anticipated in quite some time. Because they ain't touched each other, really.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You've seen moves here or there and all of that, but they ain't locked up.
Yeah.
They ain't had like a Donnybrook.
Yeah.
They had fisticuffs. They had shit.
And I want to speak to that, because what was very clever by Drew and CM Punk, literally as he sat there, as the two count was there, and he just looked at dude like, what the fuck? He got up and was just like, now normally I'm thinking, oh, hey, Claymore in the corner. Like, I'm about to steal off dude. He about to get hit with the lariat, something. He just started choking him. I was like, hey, Bang know all about that. But more importantly, I was like, oh, so he can get a chance to like engage also and choke him back. And then if it went, and then the low blow is choke, choke, low blow, we done here. That's it. I'm out the ring. Let the match end. I was like, that's very interesting. So like, even in the moment where in a story, Drew could have squashed Punk in that moment, still chose not to. It was almost like, why are you even here? Versus, I'm going to kill you when I see. So that is, again, I think that is masterful. It's like, yo, yeah, we know what y'all want to see. Not yet,
though. No punches thrown, just a choke.
Yeah.
And a kick to the nuts.
Yeah.
All it great. Is, it's Paul's worthy segment here. It's a dick tease. It's like going to the strip club. It's going to the strip club and you see all of these girls around and you finally pay that dub for a dance and it's an amazing dance, but you can't hit. You go back, same thing again. And the fourth time you go, she say, hey, what you doing after this, though? That's what this is. It's just one long tease. For the ladies who listen to the podcast, this is like you going out with a dude and saying, I ain't giving no ass for 30 days.
Yeah, wild, but hey.
Wild. But in this case, it's working. If you like the girl, you like, let me just try this out and see what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, the hope of all of this, let me just say this now. The hope of all of this is when SummerSlam happens in Cleveland, this match has to meet the anticipation.
Yeah.
And if it does not meet the anticipation, then it's going to suck. But I ain't worried about that now. Mm-hmm. Not worried about that. Because every interaction between Punk and Drew McIntyre has been A1 certified. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that these two guys can have a great wrestling match with a broomstick. So I think I'm not wrong in feeling like this is going to be a match of the ages. I'm not wrong in thinking of Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 7. No title involved. Career match. Whoever loses, they're done. And it was one of, if not the most emotional match in the WrestleMania era. The only match that I'll say is more emotional than this match, than that match particular, is Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. But that was retirement also, and this Ric Flair's last WWE match, all that stuff. But and even if you look at the two wrestlers, Macho Man, CM Punk, Ultimate Warrior, Drew McIntyre, size, pause. Because when they got in front, of, when they matched up and looked at each other, I was like, damn, CM Punk little.
Wow.
Pause. I said this is going to be the pause-worthy part. But I looked at them two and I was like, damn. Okay. How this going to work? But again, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre could have a great match with a broomstick. So as far as SummerSlam goes, I am excited about Cleveland. Don't know who going to wrestle for what title. But it already looks like the match that you could put on the card right now, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. I can't wait.
That. I like that. So great matches all aside, right? Because and I've been meaning to ask this question, but no better time than to ask it for something like this with one of, if probably not, will go down as the best story of 2024 for just wrestling. It'll be up there if it's not the one. How long do you think the match has to be? Because I ask that because I think a lot of times the reasons why matches don't meet expectations is because they're trying to give us that 20, 25, 30 minute classic. And it's like, really, if you just give us a really great show and maybe like 10 to 15 in the actual match of this action packed start to finish, and it's like, wow, somebody had to lose. I think that that is better a lot of times than the 25, 30 minutes, 7 false pins type of match where it's like, I don't even remember what the story was about.
Well, you got to give us 20.
Okay.
At least.
Okay.
The finish is where the question is. How do you finish this match? Is it CM Punk wins first match, Drew McIntyre wins the second match, and then you have your rubber match? Is it vice versa? Is it a dusty finish? Like, I don't know. And you can have a great match and the finish is terrible and it messes up the whole match. So there's that too. It's so much pressure on these two guys, but I just want to see them lock up at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I just want to see them lock up. I want to see them fight. And during the scrum, somebody had, before they asked a question to CM Punk, they said that they would like their first match to be a Hell in a Cell match. And CM Punk said, you get this fantasy booking shit out of here, fam. And I agree with him to a point. And here's the point. And first of all, CM Punk is right. Don't blow your load off of one match with a specialty match. But that's how y'all made this. Y'all made this into something that is so anticipated that we want to see blood the first night. Like, that's how good I feel like this has been. It feels like they fought. That's how good this program has been. It feels like they fought. They haven't. So to the question that was posed, or the statement that was posed before the question, it's like, damn, you realize that they have not wrestled outside of them locking up at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And still, you are anticipating this match so much that you wouldn't mind if the first match be in a cage. That shows, to me, that shows me how CM Punk and Drew McIntyre has raised the stakes, have raised the, has put an atmosphere around these two that you don't want to see a normal wrestling match. You don't want to see drop toe holds. You don't want to see headlocks. No, you don't want to see rear neck. Like, you want to see CM Punk. Matter of fact, I can tell you right now, skip everything that I just told you.
Okay, let's do it.
Because I could sum this up in one match. Mm. Because to me, if I had to put something on it, because I don't think this belt had a title attached to it. Mm-hmm. This is the most anticipated grudge match at SummerSlam since Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Mm.
In the non-sanctioned match.
Yeah, hey, you might have did it with that one. Yeah.
And what match was that? Shoot. It was a gimmick match.
Yeah.
So to speak. And at the end of the match, it was a non-sanctioned match.
Yeah, because
anything goes non-sanctioned match.
That's when Shawn Michaels had the Philippians wife beat her on.
Yep, and that was his first match back in the WWE. Yeah,
they was like, yo, I thank the Lord, but my back. And they was just like, but yeah, he jumping off ladders.
Right. And at the end of the match, Shawn Michaels was hit by the sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H hit him with the sledgehammer. To me, this is the most anticipated grudge match since those two.
Mm.
And it was a non-sanctioned match. So CM Punk, do I agree with you? On the Hell in a Cell, yes.
Yeah.
But y'all have made it so that we do not want to see a wrestling match. We want to see a fight. Yeah. We want to see Drew McIntyre come up in there with his wrestling draws and CM Punk come up in there with some jeans, some ones, and a CM Punk wife beater. That's what we want. We want to see a fight, y'all. And that's what I expect to get in so many ways at SummerSlam, a fight. The minute you put a motherfucker in a chokehold and the crowd starts, I don't want to see that. I want to see you fight.
Yeah.
But that's because of what y'all have given us.
For sure.
Y'all have not given us some wrestling vibes. Y'all hate each other, fam. Like,
right.
Y'all giving us I hate him vibes.
Yeah.
Y'all have not given me Texas catch can vibes. You've not given me King of the Ring vibes. You have not given me
three falls wrestling technician matches.
Yeah, you've not given me Bret Hart versus Owen Hart vibes.
Yeah. No.
You've given me Shawn Michaels versus Triple H vibes, fam. Like,
for sure.
I want to see a fight. So I will take any match you give us. But I want to fight. I want to fight. It ain't got to be Hell in a Cell. That could be the final chapter.
Yeah, but
you got to – they both on what? Raw, right?
Yeah.
I need Adam Pearce to be like, yo, on Raw, Monday night, this is what I need to happen. Because the way Drew McIntyre left the arena, he left as the Scottish psychopath.
For sure.
I need him to be on Raw starting out the night. I'm not leaving this ring until I get my hands on CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Adam Pearce comes out and says, as you heard in the scrum, CM Punk is not here. He's in Chicago. getting medically cleared. He'll be here next week. But Drew, you can take out your anger out on insert wrestler here.
Yeah. Jug don't
and
be
it's
done.
A Claymore. Get the fuck up out of there. Mm-hmm. I need to see a red in the face of anger. I need Kill Bill. I need to see that type of anger from him.
I got you.
If he got, he got to start the. He got to start the night off with a chair in the ring. That's it.
Hey.
Chair in the ring. I'm pissed. Microphone. Fuck this bitch. Like, I need that.
Yeah, man. It's it's gonna be dope though. It's interesting. It's good and bad for, you know, obviously the champ, because he should be in the biggest storylines, especially with him being the second like Puerto Rican champion and successfully defending the title. But yeah, man, it's really all about CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Like, that's really what it is. That's what we want to see. They've done a very great job, again, of just, one, telling the story, navigating injury, navigating rightfully deserved, like, title matches. Like, this has been really good, son. So,
yeah. What did this rank in the Screwjob history?
You know what, man? Because I knew it was coming, it don't rank really high for me. I think that's just part of this. Again, for me, and I think I said this a few weeks ago, nobody's getting that title off of Damian Priest until Gunther feels like pulling up. That's to me, these are the two stories being told to me. I didn't have CM Punk or Drew McIntyre beating whoever had the title once it was clear that Gunther was losing his. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, like, we see what's on the runway now. Clear out. ISO on that guy. They're ringing it out, you know? So for me, this screw job doesn't rank really high. I mean, if y'all want to put it in the 10, I'm not mad because of the story. See, that's the thing. I don't know if it's an individual screw job or just a great moment in this story that's already existing. So that's where I'm on the fence with it.
I agree with you to a point. Mm-hmm. I don't have it ranked as high as people start talking about on social media. But it was reminiscent of a VKM screw job. It was reminiscent of Shane McMahon type of screw job. This I don't want to say this is like Rock Survivor Series vibes or Montreal screw job vibes, because as you said, we knew those was coming. Yeah. We didn't know Bret Hart was gonna get screwed out of Montreal.
Yeah.
Also, the crowd reaction is key to the screw job. CM mm-hmm. Punk was getting middle fingers and shit, but he also was taking selfies.
Right. See, yeah. And people had on CM Punk shirts and hats.
Yeah, people he shaking up with him and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It felt like CM Punk shook up Vice Lord with a couple of people and shit.
Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the screw job is a screw job when the fans want to kill you.
Yeah.
They ain't want to kill CM Punk.
Yeah,
some of them was like, yo, nigga, come take this selfie.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, and for all due respect, now that you said literally that is why the Montreal Screwjob will always be number two to me, wildly enough, because the number one is definitely Hogan turning on WCW. They were worried. They were worried for everybody that loves Hulk Hogan. And that mess, they threw things in the ring. I had never seen that happen in something that was not a movie. Like that wasn't 20th Century Fox. That wasn't New Line Cinema. Like, they literally threw trash.
People came into the ring.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they stomped some random ass Randy out because he was like, what the fuck, dude? And he jumped in the ring and they stomped him out.
And like, that yo, you would just, happen. You must, my kid's crying right now.
Right. And to be clear, that would happen a few weeks later. Like when the NWO was just getting their shit off, people threw shit the first month and a half. Like, I was like, yo, this is insane. So that will always be screwed. Like, so when we're talking screw jobs, realize that Hogan and Vince McMahon are one and two forever, because I've never seen anything like that. Vince McMahon in the Montreal Screwjob, he made Bret Hart spit in his face accurately, and then he got sucker punched in the face. Well, not sucker punched, because obviously he's seen it coming. But for the wrestler to spit in your face in public and then knock you out in front of your son, that is crazy. That means, hey, that was Bret Hart reacting to the storyline that he in. So there's no way, if nothing's ever beating that. So you can't tell me that what happened with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre last night is in the top five. It can't be. That, not with those two. No.
Yeah, it just reminded me of like, it's not even Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, Scepter vibes.
No.
But if we didn't feel like this was going to happen, excuse me, it'll probably be higher.
For sure. But yeah, because like my thing that ran out is like when I was like, Jordan's, that ain't the ref. And then all of a sudden it was CM Punk face. I was like, yeah, but he's not even like, the reason why, what did it for me, and this is me probably being overly critical, is because CM Punk wasn't even scheduled to be there. So how he the ref? So the countdown don't mean shit. But it was funny. It was a good interaction and instance. But in some of these other screw jobs, no, that person, like Shane, was really the ref that night. He was just like, nah, fuck all that shit you're talking about. And then he ran. But then the other ref counted him down.
Right. So it was good for what it was.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't put it nowhere near Hogan WCW. I wouldn't put it nowhere Montreal Screwjob.
No.
This is more like, I don't want you to have the belt vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it exactly. Wasn't.
Like, you cost me the title, I cost you the title. We're just going to keep costing each other the title until we deal with each other.
Right.
I think that's in our archives, too. Listen to that episode, too.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about anticipation a little bit later in the show. But let's go to the Sisters with Suplexes. Mm-hmm. In a match that we didn't do a prediction show.
For sure.
But if we would have did a prediction show, I think both of us would have picked Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retaining the tag titles.
Yeah, yeah. I would have picked it off the simple fact that I didn't really know where they were at. And I didn't realize we're talking about women now, so. once I realized that the other two young ladies are like from there, I was like, oh, well, this is actually a perfect time for them to get off the ground in their city, because they need it more than anybody that's from there. So, I definitely, on just face value, I would have picked Bianca and Jade, no question.
Yeah, look, no matter where that shit was at, I probably would have been like, going with the black women, all right? And not because they black here. I just didn't feel like it would happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like everybody who went was going to lose. Mm. But then I thought about it, like, somebody got to win some. True. But then I still was like, because maybe Bianca and Jay don't take the pin. Well, they didn't take the pin. Nope. And Alba Fire and Isla Dawn are your new women's tag team champions.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, how do we book this from here? Do you believe that this is a transitional championship phase? Is this the the start of the anticipated heel turn of one of these women leading to a match at SummerSlam. What are your thoughts about this women's tag team title thing that we're in now?
Okay. Well, first I want to say that little redhead, man, I like her, man. I don't know. She got something I like.
We're here.
You know what I'm saying? I like everything about that. She looks super spicy. I'm into it.
It's LaDon, yeah.
Oh, bet. Hey, I'm into you. Mm-hmm. All right. So, but that aside. So, let me be super real about the women's tag team titles, because I think that it's been used wrong since the inception of it. So, like, the reiteration of it, even though it was Bayley and Sasha and all of that, I think it was still wrong. The women's tag team titles should have more of a focus on wrestling teams versus wrestling stars. And I super get wanting to get the title in front of as many eyes as possible. Obviously, Bianca Belair holding a title, it's only going to improve. It's only going to shoot up, right? Same thing with Bayley. Same thing with the then Sasha Banks. Same thing with Ronda Rousey, even at that point, even though she don't really like wrestling, she just like paychecks and not really getting punched in her face. But all of those things, right? Very big stars have helped these titles, yet the title itself ain't made still yet. Nobody's making the title, and the title ain't making nobody. So I honestly think that these two young ladies are the perfect start to, like, changing the culture of that. Put them in real matches. Put them in real scenarios. Let them come out on top. Let them get over with these belts. So, like, we're not saying things like, oh, well, shit, it's her and her. Who gonna beat them? Versus, like, yo, this is a real title. We really defending it. We having real matches and we winning. Like, now, instead of just putting teams together, other teams that already exist, because there are a handful of really good teams that still exist, can now go after the title, chase the champs, and maybe they get put down. The hot potato with the tag from star to star, I think that's hurting it more than it's helping it. So hopefully, and this is a goddamn hope, what happens with these ladies and these titles and improves from here, because so far, I'm not impressed.
I agree. And that's why I like the title change a day after. Like, at first I was like, wait a minute, what is... Because first of all, it was a sloppy match. So being that it was a sloppy match, I was already concerned. Because it's like, yo, Jay Cargill still needs some seasoning and all of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
So you need Bianca Belair, in my opinion. You need her in this capacity to help out with that. And that's part of the reason why I was like, yo, they'll probably keep the belt on them too. Because I'll be honest with you, without the tag team championships, there's no reason to keep them as a tag team.
Yeah, that too. That
no
too.
Reason.
Because,
and
man,
now, go ahead.
I was going to say, because, man, this is actually slowing Bianca Belair down. If we're keeping it 100% real. Triple H, Mr. Levesque answered all of y'all internet questions. Oh, what would they look like together? And they should be a team. Black women.
He's done that.
Empowerment. Yeah, he did it. And now, but you see it. You see it in real time. They didn't wait to 2032 to finally do it. They did it right now, where y'all swore that Jake was ready to do this. And it's slowing Bianca Belair down. Bianca Belair is the superstar of the year for what she's done for the rest of this women's division without holding the title. That is my take. It is not hot. We should acknowledge it. Like, to me right now, there is no greater superstar in the world of wrestling than Bianca Belair with what she's done just the first 6 months of this year. I want to stand firm on that.
So not only do I agree with you, this is why I believe that the WWE is using the tag team championships as a mid-card title. Now, WWE should take the main card should take a page out of NXT's book. and have a mid-card women's championship. NXT now has the North American Women's Championship. Kehlani Jordan is the first ever North American Women's Champion. There needs to be a Women's Intercontinental Championship, or give it another name. Give it, you know, have a Women's European Championship, or the TV title, mm-hmm. or something like that. But if you're going to do this, that's what you need that for. The WWE is using the tag team championships as a mid-card championship or a title just to put on, as you said, to keep a name in your face. Mm-hmm. Think the title belongs around Dawn and Fire or anybody else that comes up as a tag team. Yeah. You know, like, for example, what's shorty name that's with Shayna Baszler?
Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark, I'm sorry. Zoe Stark.
Yeah. They're not even a tag team to me. The only tag team that was in that match was Dawn and Fire.
Yeah.
That feels like a true tag team. Yeah. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell feels like a tag team. And yes. I know there's other people that you can put together as a tag team. That's what feels like a tag team to me. And those are the people that should be wrestling for those belts. So, yeah, I agree with you. And that's why we need a championship, a mid-card championship for the women that you could put. I don't mind Bianca Belair being the champion. Like, I don't mind Bianca Belair being the WWE Women's TV Champion or some shit like that. I don't mind that at all. But what I do mind is her being in a tag team that don't really exist outside of the belt being on them. So, so that's what makes it this little weird to me. But considering what we saw last night, I kind of know the answer that you're going to give here, but I got to ask it anyway. Is Jade ready to go solo?
No. No, not in this environment, man. Unfortunately, like, because we're very critical of the men wrestlers, right? Because we're not attracted to them. And, like, that's part of the gig. They gave Jade 5 moves of doom, and she's not completing them all every night. And that's the problem. Like, her bicycle kick, she missed it a couple times in the last couple matches. Very scary moment for her too, though. Off that rope on that hot tag, that didn't look good. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I was like, man, I was genuinely concerned because she hit that rope. I was like, ooh, whoa, don't do that. But I also think this the little things, bang, and about that hot tag, she put the, and I know I ain't never been a wrestler, but I've watched enough wrestling to know that she need to be a little more amped up. She need to be reaching with her other arm for the tag versus Bianca coming to the far end of that corner to make that tag. Like, that was the suspense. Bianca sold the shit out of that. And yet her hot tag didn't feel so hot. And it's those things that are why I'm saying not yet. Again, my vote was her to be on NXT, but she's honestly too big of a star for that. And I get it. She's not like, this is me, and I'm hoping I'm speaking to the wrestling community that is very critical or overly critical of everybody. Jade Cargill is not here to be the greatest professional wrestler of all times that happens to be a woman. Jade Cargill is here to capitalize off of being genetically, like, incredible and being a great athlete. You know what I'm saying? And that comes with big entertainment. Look, I mean, the Storm thing is real. She will not stop until DC Marvel picks her up. If that's the right movie, a franchise, I am sorry. That's not really my bag. I think for that, you know, it's so with that, I'm trying to be fair fair as possible, because I know her thing, gang. Yo, I'm trying to be the greatest woman wrestler. She's literally right in between what Ronda Rousey was and what Maria Menounos is. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's right in there. It's like, it ain't that she don't give a shit, and she still could be better than we expect. But right now, she right in the sector of there, but she just happens to be a very big star just by looking like that.
Yeah. Jay Cargill is a perfect example of why I believe that a mid-card championship should be there. Because she's the person I don't mind the mid-card championship being on. Especially when you spotlight. That's how you spotlight a mid-card belt and keep somebody solo. Right. Because also it puts her in matches and as a solo artist and putting her up against people that's going to help her grow. You can do like we did with Gunther. You could do like they did at AEW with her, because she did grow from when we first saw her to where she left. I don't need her to do athletic shit. I need her to do power shit. She don't have to jump off of ropes. She don't have to, you know, show her athletic prowess. Because I'm not looking at Jade Cargill to jump, like to hop on a rope and then do a flying clothesline.
Yeah.
Looking at Jade Cargill to power slam you, to sidewalk slam you, to belly to belly you, to sidewalk slam you.
Yeah, she should bring back the torture rack. Now that you said that, she should bring back the torture rack.
Yeah, I give you a perfect example from a male side of you, so people can understand what I'm talking about. Arn Anderson with more charisma. Arn Anderson, to me, is a great Mac technician, and will give you the power move to fuck you up, spine buster move that everybody up in using. I did not expect to see Arn Anderson jump off the top rope. I barely saw him jump off the middle rope.
Hey, that's true. That's true.
I'm going to give you a clothesline. I'm going to give you a spine buster. I'm going to give you a figure four when needed. I'm going to give you a power slam. And I'm going to talk shit. I don't need that from Jade Cargill. I don't need her to jump off anything. She's too strong to be doing all of that shit. Now, if she could do it, by all means, but that takes a lot of work and practice in match.
Yeah, buddy.
And even on the power side, you know, she was messing up a little bit. But yeah, bicycle kick, give me the Sheamus kick, the bro kick, and... As you said, like you've said to me on many occasions, I like the wrestlers that just go up in there and beat your ass.
Yeah. Yes, sir. What, never gets old.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need her to be more Bruiser Brody than the athletic guy that jumps around and shows you that they could do everything. No, not looking for Jade Cargill to do that. Just whoop somebody's ass. Like just ragdoll a bitch.
Yeah.
You said torture wreck. I'll go one further. I put a bitch in the full Nelson. Ragdoll ass.
Yo, hey, she could be woman Bobby Lashley. I'm here for that. And nothing about Bobby Lashley dropping off the second or third rope ever impressed me that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, see, but you know, but I think, see, what you're saying is great, because these are the things that just as wrestling fans, I think need to be said, because too often, especially when it comes to the women, everybody is so critical of the women. It's just like, oh, you're either great or you suck. And it's not that cut and dry. Sometimes it's just about finding your footing as a superstar. And a lot of guys have this problem too, but we just overlook it because we are invested in the women for two different reasons. You know, women, historically through wrestling, either you got to be really beautiful or you got to be really good. But we haven't taken a lot of time to build women characters for you to be several types of women in wrestling. I think that is kind of why the Four Horsewomen were able to be who they are, and they're such an anomaly. It's like, oh, this is four type of women that you could be in wrestling. So now at least there's four types, because, you know, because Hogan, Savage, Flair, and Shawn Michaels aren't the same guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then when you throw in The Rock and you throw in Steve Austin, they're not the same guy. And now we're seeing different versions of who to be, like Bianca Belair. The reason why she is so successful, that's the fifth type of woman to be like in wrestling. Rhea Ripley, the sixth one. So it's like, we got some great blueprints. Where do you fit in all of that? And I think what's being missed by Jade Cargill, and maybe the people like, you know, that may be with her in another time, is that she has the potential to be a different kind of powerhouse wrestler. You know, she doesn't have to quite be China, because China couldn't even wrestle with the men. I mean, because she couldn't even wrestle with the women. So this is pure mismatch. And then you had your Beth Phoenix, but she can be bringing that back, but revolutionizing it at the same time. And unfortunately, but what they got her doing, it ain't translating as that.
I want to see her put a bitch in the bear hug and just ragdoll her ass.
That's a fact.
Just drop her. Matter of fact, give you another wrestler. You said Bobby Lashley. I'll go in further. The person who found her and got her into professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Go be Mark Henry.
For sure.
That's
all the pain vibes, though. Unless you want to be Sexual Chocolate. I'm not mad at that either.
I'm not mad at that either. You could put me in the Hall of Pain.
Hey, willing inductee.
But man, I look at Mark Henry as a perfect compliment to her. Like, to the point where I wouldn't mind if, when she does make her turn, before she even comes out, Mark Henry pops out like Paul Bearer did when he came back to the WWE in a red coat. And Michael Cole be like, wait a minute, what? That's Mark Henry. And Mark Henry says, things are changing here. The Hall of Pain is back in business. And it has a new proprietor. And that person's name is, and the snow started falling. There's a storm coming. And it's Bianca Belair. And she basically mimicked what Mark Henry does in the ring. Mark ain't got to do all that jumping on ropes and all of that shit.
Facts.
He just beat people ass.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That would be incredible, actually. That would be incredible. Y'all want me to turn the corner on Jade? Do what Bang said.
That's it. That's it. She just beat people's ass. And she make people scared of black women. Like most white men ages 18 to 34 is. Unless they're attracted to them. And they like to be in the Hall of Pain as well. They actually like to really be in the Hall of Pain. We just talking. They want a bitch to step on their shit.
Yeah, shout out to all the BDSMers out there that might be tuning into the First Black Champ podcast.
Yeah, nah, I'm not doing that, but all right, man, let's go. We ain't doing that. Let's go to the first match of the night, which was for the WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Championship, or whatever that shit's called. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes defeated AJ Styles in a I Quit match, which, whether it was going to be a Money in the Bank or Clash at the Castle, was expected.
Yeah.
You know, but the interesting thing was Solo coming out and then the Bloodline coming out, but then also Randy Orton and Kevin Owens coming out to even score. But Randy Orton did those subtle things in wrestling you got to watch out for. He took a glance at the belt.
Yeah.
Looked at the motherfucker like, okay. I ain't helped this motherfucking one. So, my question to you is when should they pull the trigger on either one of these guys? And that, no matter of fact, before I even ask you this question, I tell you Remember, guys, if y'all listened to last week's show, if y'all watched last week's show, I'm staying with my SummerSlam prediction. For those who might not know, let me break that down to you or for you. Let me break it down for you. My SummerSlam prediction. It starts with Money in the Bank. My prediction is that Solo, with the help of the right-hand man and the other guy, the Gorillas of Destiny, because I forgot what nickname they gave Tongaloa. But I also believe that now that their brother is out of his New Japan Pro Wrestling contract, the taller one, I can't remember Buddy's name, but that I think they're gonna call him Taller Tonga, because they did trademark the name Taller Tonga. All right.
Okay.
So I believe there's going to be another debut at Money in the Bank, and with that debut, Solo will win the Money in the Bank. And then you will have an even stronger, in their eyes, bloodline. Mm-hmm. I think when we get to SummerSlam, we're going to hear Solo's name after Cody Rhodes successfully defends his title against Randy Orton, but Randy Orton punts him, thus turning him back to what he's best at, being a heel. And then Solo's music is going to come on. Randy Orton is going to walk past him, look him up and down, and walk off. Kevin Owens is going to be like, what the fuck, fam? And then The Rock's music is going to play. And he's going to give the Money in the Bank contract to The Rock, who's just going to give him a rock bottom, people's elbow, and come off with the championship. Thus preparing everybody for WrestleMania, where will be The Rock and Roman Reigns for the championship. With that being said, after seeing what you saw at Clash of the Castle, mm-hmm. how should these next 2 months go when it comes to Randy Orton, Solo, Cody Rhodes?
Well, I want to see the story of Cody versus the Bloodline, like four or whatever, take the forefront, because it's a testament to both Cody and the Bloodline with no Roman Reigns in sight. Why do I say that? Because Cody is over, right? Nobody's in doubt that Cody Rhodes is over. But Cody, high key, has been also wrestling a lot of over people. It's like Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, like AJ Styles, everybody over. Cody Rhodes ain't made one star yet. All right, let's just be crystal clear on that. Cody is mastered being over the over guy. Okay. Awesome. But now, though, get these wild Samoans over. All puns intended. Now put your title and your likeness and your ability, which is top tier. So let's not think I'm ever shooting on Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a top tier superstar. But now you got to put in the real work, though, Cody. Solo and them ain't really it. They could be it, but they not really it. You ain't helping. Paul Heyman ain't helping. We want Roman chants are still going on. That ain't good for the hottest faction of the last 3 years to be in this position. And while that is happening, I just want Randy Orton waiting in the weeds. I want him waiting in the weeds. And when that story is over, I want my RKO out of nowhere. I want my hostile turn. Because I'm waiting for the crowd on this one, bang. I already know what I expect to see happen, and I'm going to enjoy it, even though I feel it in my soul and my spirit what's about to happen. But I want to see what the 2024 WWE Universe feels about Randy Orton. Do y'all really like this face, Orton?
I know I don't. Want,
or do you really want the true greatest Randy Orton of all time, who is, in my estimation, a top 10 wrestler, not 10, ever, heel Randy Orton? That's how I judge wrestling fans now, man. But what Randy Orton you like? Because that's important to me.
I already told you, I have Randy Orton as my greatest heel of all time.
And I got him at 2. And it's a close 2. He's really 1A through Z. You can't pick a 1B or 1C. He's 1A Z. I got Triple H as number 1. I can't lie because he set the bar.
Y'all know this is a Randall Keith Orton podcast. All right,
that's a fact. That's a fact.
He's always gonna get love here.
Yeah, that is an undisputed fact here. So that's what I want to see. And I think everybody will win in that because I do think they want Cody to get one more, you know, story off, one more, you know, title defense, and that will carry him over half the year, even though he hasn't been the champ for 6 months. But still, I think it's still a good defense for him to have now. Now we've gotten past, again, all that crying. We've got to pass all that, I respect your dad. We got past the dude that respects your dad, but it's a retirement match. I wrestled with you and your dad. Okay, we got all that out the way. Now deal with these new dudes, though. Get somebody over, defend your title, create some real adversity with people that don't give a fuck about you, and then take down your mentor if you can.
Because of everything that you just said, that's also why I'm sticking with my prediction. I believe that Money in the Bank is going to be a 6-man tag. But also it's depending on what they do with the Bloodline. If they do debut one of those guys and earlier and then put them in the match while Solo is in the Money in the Bank. But Solo needs to be in Money in the Bank. He needs to be in the Money in the Bank match. I'll go as far as to say that this match is irrelevant if he's not in it. Because a couple of reasons. The biggest reason is he says he's the head of the table while Roman is out.
Yeah.
He's now starting to do the spear. He clearly wants a shot at the title. So wouldn't it be dope if the Bloodline has the briefcase?
Yeah.
Because now it's hovering over your head, Cody's head. I really got to watch my back now. Yeah. If the success rate of the Money in the Bank is so high, then it is impossible for you to think that you will hold on to that if Solo is the holder of the briefcase because of the two people that he has next to him. The Money in the Bank will give the Bloodline more power to me than they had with Roman Reigns because I can take that belt from you anytime I want to, literally. Now I got the briefcase. Now it's pretty much up to me.
Yeah.
Because you can't mess with God.
You know what I'm saying?
God is going to take you down, and then Solo is going to reap the benefits of it. I just believe that The Rock is the person that will reap the benefit. And it will make Solo even a more destructive character. Because then Roman comes and be like, hold on. If you win Money in the Bank and then you give it to him, you should have gave that to me.
Yeah, tribal chief. Yeah.
And that's how you kick off the Civil War.
Yeah.
Simply put, that's how the Civil War starts. That's when you realize you've been had, you've been hoodwinked, you've been bamboozled. And Lil Cuz have took the high chief's word over the tribal chief's word. And that's when you get a civil war going into WrestleMania. That's my thoughts, though. As a CM Punk, not trying to fantasy book here. Just doing the pod.
All right, you know?
Just doing the pod. One thing that I want to discuss before we get out of here today. And enjoy y'all Father's Day, big piece of chicken day, steak on the grill day. You know what I'm saying? Or get some head from your baby mama day, whatever you would like to do today.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day. So look, one of the things that I've been thinking about heavily that I mentioned on the show earlier today is anticipation and win. See, Cody Rhodes, we've been anticipating for 2 years that he would finish the story and go into another chapter. And that's happened. We've seen historically the anticipation and then the win and what may happen afterwards. I am not in this group, but there is a group of the internet wrestling community that feels like that this Cody Rhodes win and title run has been lackluster. I am a story guy and I see where the story is going. There are other situations, let's say Sami Zayn. Some people felt like Sami Zayn should have been in that main event a couple of years ago instead of Cody Rhodes because of the story, the anticipation of the story, right? We even see it right now with Chad Gable. People are anticipating the win from him eventually, but they are also anticipating the turn of Otis. And we've been down this Otis road before.
Yeah, man.
So there's that right there. And when the anticipation is there, people are invested. But what happens when the win happens? Do people lose interest? This is like, you know, ooh, I finally hit. Well, peace. Talk to you later. Like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, as they used to say in 90s talk shows. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Do you feel that the anticipation of the story, where we at now in wrestling, is better than the win to some of these folks?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. As a as being the guy that's watched the company create moments, you know, a lot of the moments don't feel like moments when it comes to the matches, unfortunately. So no, I agree with that. I think there is there's a lot to be done with these matches and these finishes and how they create moments. Super real quick. For me, Clash at the Castle match of the night to me was Bayley versus Piper Niven. I thought and I thought that was a great story being told start to finish. Chelsea Green, I'm into you. I thought that was a really great show start to finish. And even with the finish of that, it was like Piper lost very strong at the crib. And I think that's important because not only did it not seem that Bayley can just move on to the next, it also let me know Piper win that title between now and WrestleMania. And you can book that.
So this is something that I've struggled with in these last couple of days, getting in the Clash of the Castle. And even when I look at the news around, you know, what some people are saying around Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. ain't this what you wanted?
Let's be real. Tell him again. Tell him again.
Ain't this what you wanted? This is what y'all wanted. Y'all wanted Cody Rhodes to win the championship. Finish the story. Don't change now.
Yeah.
It's a new chapter. My only concern about the Cody Rhodes thing was who they feed him. And I've addressed that. I felt like you have not put his championship in danger. Mm-hmm. I think Money in the Bank is going to change that. Mm-hmm. Money in the Bank is going to officially put his title in danger. Now you're going to be anticipating when he's going to lose it, not anything else. Anytime Cody Rhodes wrestles somebody, it's going to be in the back of your mind that insert wrestler here can strike at any time. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I believe business is going to pick up. I've also said that Cody's title reign felt like territorial title reigns, felt like the NWA champion, right? Thoughts and feels. Mm. Like I'm going to go to Mid-South and defend it against Junkyard Dog, and then I'm going to go to Championship Wrestling from Florida and defend it against Dusty, and then I'm going to go to St. Louis and defend it against Harley Race, and then I'm going to go to the Midwest and I'm going to defend it against Nick Bockwinkel, and then I'm going to go to Texas and I'm going to defend it against, you know, Kerry Von Erich. Kerry Von Erich. I'm going to go to California and defend it against Classy Freddie Blassie. Like, I'm going to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like to me, even though he got AJ Styles twice and this match was an I Quit match. Mm-hmm. He wasn't losing the I Quit match, y'all.
Yeah.
But I do like the lead up to it. I do like the Mark Henry thing. I do like the Good Brothers holding security back and all of that. But I would have loved to saw the Good Brothers at the I Quit match.
Man. I thought that's what this was all about.
Right. So, again, he never felt like he was in danger of losing the belt.
Yeah.
The only thing it felt like to me is he's closer to Homelander than he is Cody.
For sure.
American hero.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the match, what did he do with the stairs? That is unbecoming of Cody. But you push me to the edge, and mm-hmm. now you got Solo that might be under attack. That's why I believe it's going to be a six-man tag. But I also believe that Solo needs to be a Money in the Bank. It doesn't even matter. Because that is really going to make us go, this motherfucker might lose this motherfucker. Oh, he going against Randy Orton? Oh, he better be Randy Orton. Because Solo them waiting in the wings. I just think this is the ultimate screw job if you get my drift. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I believe that the anticipation is better than the win, because if you've just using sex again as an example, you've been waiting to hit, and no matter if it's good or bad, you know you can get it again if you did what you were supposed to. I'm not going to anticipate it the second time as much as I did the first time, unless I'm promised some nasty shit the next time. In this case, the nasty shit is a gimmick match. Mm-hmm. Hell in a Cell, Last Man Standing, I Quit, a simple steel cage match, yeah. Falls Count Anywhere, Judy Bagwell on a pole match, whatever the fuck it is, right? I just think that this is why I don't listen to the internet wrestling community, because you spend all of that time talking about the anticipation and less about when it actually happens and what's next. So it proves to me that you wasn't really invested in the first place. And that's what hinders title reigns like Cody Rhodes or Sami Zayn Intercontinental Championship reign. That's what it can. But I'm going to use those two as different examples and why I feel like what may be the issue with Cody's reign. I just told y'all I felt like Cody was never in danger of losing the belt. You can't tell me that Sami Zayn has not been in danger of losing the belt. You can't. Because I thought Chad Gable was going to win last night.
Hey, man, it was prime for it to be something like that. See, that I think we're officially telling this story too long.
Yep.
So, too long. So yeah, with that, I was like, so once he lost, I want to highlight two things. What if AJ Styles would hit Mama Rose with that chair? I would have went away. I would have passed away if he would have hit Mama Rose with that chair when he got out there. But two, when I thought Maxxine Dupri was going to get haluva'd in the face, I was off of one of my Vegas and my Matter watermelons. Oh, my God. The sensation through my body of laughter coming my way. I thought I was going to die of just literal, just like suffocation from laughing so hard if she would have got haluva'd in the face. That did not happen. But now that Chad Gable didn't win, hey, we can wrap this up, B. You need to either try the triple German suplex Otis tomorrow, or y'all gotta like decide that this ain't the way to go and just be friends again and start doing push-ups in the back and do and get an ask for a tag title against a tag match against Awesome Truth or something, because this is done here. If that, and again, because it felt like a PLE, the what Bang was saying earlier. And this story don't need to be told too much longer. Like, what is the finish here at this point is my question.
See, the finish is Otis now. It goes back to the anticipation part. Now I'm anticipating Otis whipping his ass. But I can tell you what I want. I don't want Otis to whip his ass. Mm. I want Otis to turn heel. I told y'all this shit years ago. Pandemic time. Yeah, Otis true. Needs to be Otis needs to be this generation's Vader. Mm-hmm. Otis, we need to be scared of Otis. I don't want Otis to be the happy-go-lucky fat guy with the blonde on his side. Like, I don't want Otis and Mandy Rose. I want Otis to be mean, nasty, and show up for the homie, and the homie is now the Intercontinental Champion. Mm. That's what I want for Otis. I don't want Otis to be the, yes, yeah, Otis, well, no. I want Otis to eventually look at Sami Zayn, preferably tomorrow night, and say, fuck it, Chad is right. And give that man 5 Vader bombs after Chad Gable wins the belt.
I want to say something real quick, though. I do want to kick it with Otis in real life. Because for whatever reason that they doing this, I don't know if it's a rib or what. I don't know. But they keep him with a bad blonde on these damn programs and these stories.
Yeah,
he ain't missed yet. And clearly the thing is, Otis is definitely going to protect the bad blonde, and they going. So I don't know. Hey, that they say a lot of these storylines and things that they develop and these nuances are hidden in truth. We need to put a camera on damn Otis, and we need to get him on Hulu or somewhere, because I got to see what's up, bro.
So hey, we you, all sir. Do. And the crazy thing is, Maxxine Dupri, she could be right along with him.
Sure.
She could be right along with him. She could get her Medusa Dangerous Alliance on.
Get her turned out. She'd be like, look, I can't really wrestle, but I can gouge your eyes and slap the shit out you and hit you with my heel like Sensational Sherry used to or something.
Like she could take off that ankle boot and smack somebody upside the head with it and be like, yeah, that can happen. We could do all this anticipation. We could do all this anticipating. And then we find out that it's going to go in a way that we don't expect it to go. Because I can tell y'all right now, everybody is expecting Chad Gable to get his ass whooped by Otis soon enough. Yeah. Otis can literally grab dude by the neck and be like, I'm tired of you doing that shit. Enough is enough. And then turn around and beat the shit out of Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at Maxine Dupri. And she goes from scared to... And then they just start whooping Sami Zayn's ass.
Yeah.
And then Michael Cole be like, what? Huh? You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The anticipation is headed in one direction, but we change it and go to another. Yeah. And you don't have to get a Chad Gable versus Otis feud, which it feels like will, depending on how this goes, a mess around and be the second most anticipated match at SummerSlam. If you listen to the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. But the nuance that I want the crowd to pay attention to is, hey, when Otis did the right thing that was wrong, Gable told him how much he loved him and kissed on him. I don't know if that's how you want to be celebrated for doing bad, but that's what happened. So with that said, hey, the switch could be Otis to be like, you know what? When I'm killing shit, he cool. Maybe that's what I need to do. And I'm here for that too, to be honest. As long as the elevation is Otis and him getting back to where he got left off about 2 years ago now, two, 3 years ago now, I'm honestly with it. I can't front.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not here. Let me just say this. I'm just not here for face Otis. Not because you're not gonna put any title or anything on them. So what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Like just to be a celebrated fat guy. As a fat guy, no, I'm straight. You know what us fat guys want to do? Beat the shit out of people a lot of times. That's what we're here for. I don't want to be the lovable fat guy. I want to be the fat guy that you fear in wrestling. So, no, I'm straight on that. So, Jake the Snake Roberts never held a major title, but he was more over than 99.9% of the roster. And you liked him in some cases, and you feared him in some cases. Mm-hmm. Choose which Jake the Snake you like better. Yeah. But I can tell you now, when he had the Ultimate Warrior going through that snake pick, I was scared for Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Bring me alive, Snake Man.
Yeah, so choose which one you want to be, Otis. I'd rather you be the Destroyer and not the lovable guy. Be Vader. Be Bam Bam Bigelow. Be awesome. All right, man, before we get out of here, Money in the Bank next month in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I know I've talked about Solo. Ladies and gentlemen, Solo is not going to be my pick for somebody who should win Money in the Bank. Spoiler alert, he is my pick to win it, but who should be Money in the Bank? If you're looking at the Raw roster and you see the person who benefits the most and being the Money in the Bank, who is that person for you?
So looking just specifically at the Raw roster?
Raw or SmackDown.
Raw or SmackDown.
Or NXT shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Man. The person that would benefit the most at this moment from Money in the Bank or Money in the Bank win, as far as the guys go, I'm trying not to be too wild cardish because there is a lot going on. But you know what? Since the title is taking some turns, I'm going to say Dominic Mysterio. I'm going to say Dominic Mysterio. Liv, I'm into what you're doing. I'm into that. I've met girls like you. I'm into that. Dominic Mysterio. But they're also, though, you know what? Both of my picks are Judgment Day picks. I'm sorry. This is where I want to go. Finn Balor or Dominic Mysterio. And I say those guys won because we still haven't got what we were supposed to get out of Montez Ford, and I don't understand completely why. But also, I think it just speaks to how over the Judgment Day is and was, even without Rhea. And now that one member has already won the title, and this obviously going to be the reason why they break up at the end of the day, I can't think of two other guys that are legit cash-ins that's going to cause a shockwave, positive or negative, than Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio right now.
What about on the women's side?
Women. See, this is interesting because it's a gap in that women's division and it ain't really close. So let me just give you what I think is going to happen. This is my early prediction.
Because I can tell you right now, it's only one person on my list for the women's side.
And I'm probably, and this might be spoiler alert for y'all, but especially after what happened at Clash of the Castle, you can't tell me Jade ain't winning Money in the Bank now. You just can't. Because at the end of the day, fuck what we say. And she got a year. You know what I mean? They would have her win that Money in the Bank contract and get better by the Royal Rumble, which would be her 1 year mark. And she could cash in whenever. She literally got till next summer to be worthy enough. And they've done it before. They picked the girl that was on the fence wrestling-wise to win the Money in the Bank. See, Mella is money. See, Liv Morgan. Like, they've done this. So, I think the only choice at this moment is Jay Cargill.
So we disagree.
All right.
I think the only choice for Money in the Bank is Tiffany Stratton. I think the Money in the Bank is made for her. The Money in the Bank is not about who's going to win the belt.
Yeah.
It's about who is going to win the briefcase. Now, of course, the majority of the time who wins the briefcase wins Money in the Bank. But when I look at where I expect Tiffany Stratton to be, I expect her and Charlotte Flair to have a program as soon as she gets back. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. When she finally gets the belt, Charlotte comes out and be like, all right, let me go get it off the young bitch. Think she mean. And let me show her who I am. And then I win another world championship. Yada, yada, yada. I don't think there's no reason at all to put it on anybody else but Tiffany Stratton. Now for the
I love that pick, too, by the way.
Yeah, I understand the Jay thing, because if you listen to what I said earlier, it's right in line.
Yeah.
It's the Money in the Bank. It's basically a mid-card title until you put it on. You grab the world championship, so I get it.
Yeah.
But Tiffany, yeah.
Cause she got it.
No reason. Yeah, she got it. Now, for the men, I was thinking about this a lot. I was thinking, could they give it to CM Punk? And he's like, you know, the first three-time Money in the Bank winner. Could they put it on somebody young like Melo? Could they put it on a Jey Uso type? But I'm But we who will be elevated if they become the Money in the Bank winner? So I'm going to think out the box here. And who would be elevated if they win the Money in the Bank? And this might surprise some people, but Ludwig Kaiser.
Yo, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? Even though my guy Jay Dub said some comments I can't say on this live stream about my man Kaiser, but hey, that's my guy though.
Talking about elevating somebody and somebody who in the last couple of weeks have been seen in a great light. Ludwig winning the Money in the Bank and Gunther having the belt would be great TV. Yeah. It would be tension in Imperium, because it's like, yo, my man's going to try to go over me at any minute now. But then they hold all of the cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but pure getting somebody over, I don't think it's no better choice than Ludwig Kaiser.
Hey, listen, man, I like it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've been a fan ever since he tried to slur Maxine Dupree out on national TV. It was like, yo, are you hanging with them? You like these dusty, big-headed, fat niggas? Or you want to get with Imperium? You see what we doing out here with the suits and all that? You see we got the champ? You know what I mean?
And the funny thing about that is I picked the two that's dating. Like, that's the... I picked the two that's dating. Now, somebody might be like, why not Jey Uso? I don't think Jey Uso need that bitch.
Yeah, no.
Melo was too early.
Yeah. And Jay's had too many chances too, by the way.
Yeah, like, you know. He don't need the money. And I think if him winning the belt and the Money in the Bank way would cheapen it for him. Like, he does not need to win it in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Dude, matter of fact, speaking more to your point, man. We gotta salute Jey Uso to being the superstar that got built during the Roman Reigns era that nobody expected, man. Like, nobody, you think about where wrestling was when Roman Reigns won that title at SummerSlam and who we knew was next. Like, we knew it. Like, yo, once they get the run, they get this, we gone. Jey Uso was nowhere in that conversation at all. And look where we are. So, man, salute to Jey Uso. But, yeah, that's why I wouldn't put him in Money in the Bank. He's the one guy. He's the one guy that really got his shit popping by losing. Like, and just being unexpected. Like, Dom was over because of his pops, even though he took it to a new level, but it's still his pops. But Jay did that, and he did that by himself, man. We got to salute that.
Yeah. All right, man, before we get out of here, any guarantees?
Yeah. I'm just going to go back to something I said earlier in the show. My guarantee is that Piper Niven definitely becomes a women's world champion by WrestleMania. I really, again, match of the night for me was Bayley versus Piper. They did an excellent job. That was the hardest hitting match of that night, too, by the way, if y'all just go back and check out some of that.
Yes, it was.
And those girls got busy. So, I'll stick there today. We'll show the ladies some love because we always got to love the ladies. Yeah, Piper Niven. Women's champ. And that's not saying that she'll necessarily go over on Bayley. But you know how they do trades and acquisitions, and all of a sudden you can just twist your ankle and end up on Raw the next day. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if she in the Money in the Bank, then damn. FBC told you first, but that's my guarantee for this week.
My guarantee is that we're going to be overwhelmed tomorrow night when the Wyatt Six debuts. And if we're talking about anticipation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Cam. I don't need Dexter Lumis in this group.
Yeah.
I don't need, even though I'm a fan of Joe Gacy, I don't need Joe Gacy in this group.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Nikki Cross, but I don't need Nikki Cross in this group. You know who I need in this group, though? Eric Rowan.
Man, listen.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's who I need in this group. And because of the people that are involved, that's why it's going to be underwhelming. I think whether I've said on this show, I always thought that Bo Dallas, Taylor Rotunda should have been a part of the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that even during this time, he was an underused talent. I've been a fan of Bo Dallas since NXT. When he got to the WWE, I was like, yo, they need to make this Bo Leave character a little bit more deranged instead of happy-go-lucky. So I am excited. Let me first say, I am excited for tomorrow, Monday Night Raw. We record on Sunday. So I'm excited for him.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to sound like a lame or nothing like that, but he lost his brother. And I can't help but to feel a bit of emotion for him too.
Yeah.
Being in this prime spot and his brother's not here to see it or be a part of it, because he was a part of that before the health turn of his brother and then his untimely passing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need anything else from anybody else but a Rotunda and Eric Rowan. And that's why I'm nervous about this debut. I like the lead up. I think these vignettes are a bit more scarier.
Mm-hmm.
A bit more weirder and deranged and all of that. I'm sure he's not going to be wrestling with the Uncle Howdy mask and all of that. I ain't worried about that.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about the people that's going to be involved in this with him.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they're not good people. Sometimes it's just too many people around.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to keep it simple. I don't want this to become the Flock.
Right. I got you.
I want this to be straight. However he's billed, Bo Dallas, Taylor Rotunda, I want this to be a launching pad for him. And my man who's been here through it all, Eric Rowan, is back.
Yeah.
And we're about to do our thing. If the first person that they attack is Jey Uso, even better, because the Fireflies have been out anytime he does his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need six people circling the ring. Well, excuse me, five people circling the ring. Or mm-hmm. four people, and Bo is at the end of the ramp mm-hmm. waiting for them to attack. I don't need that. I need Bo, Taylor, have his build to do his thing with Eric. I don't need nothing else. And that's why I feel like it's going to be a bit underwhelming.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying, but to just add a couple more additions that I'm okay with. I don't care if it's Rowan, Bliss, and Braun with Bo. That's it for me. Because I don't think you need Randy Orton. I think, man, if you're gonna do this Wyatt Six thing, it should culminate into everybody that was actually a part of the story. I just feel like it should be that way. Like, don't discredit the people that literally watched Bray Wyatt become Bray Wyatt and what was happening after that. I think that's important. So, you know, so with that, underwhelmed, I could see it. Hey, man, make us wrong. That's really all I got.
Yeah.
Make us wrong.
Yeah, make us wrong. Oh, they out. They've been released. Oh, no, nah, they sold out. Damn. I would have spent the money on them.
Mm-hmm. What you got?
The Deion Sanders shoes back.
Oh shit! Well, no, like the OG Falcon joints.
Yeah, the DT Max.
Nice.
Damn. I missed that one. Shit. Yeah. All right, man. Look, great show. Thank y'all for tuning in. For again, all of the fathers that listen to the show, happy Father's Day. Yes. For people, the uncles, the grandfathers, the cousins, the stepfathers, the mentors, you are all appreciated. Happy mm-hmm. big piece of chicken for you too. Single mama, stay out the chats. Y'all have Mother's Day. This is about us. Mm-hmm. Nobody chose your baby daddy but you. So instead of trying to take credit on Father's Day, think back at the mistake that you made by picking the baby daddy that you did. You should not let him net in you. But accept the blessing that you do have, which is an amazing child, if that child is amazing.
Yeah.
But today ain't your day. Today is our day. As Camp's shirt says, acknowledge your daddy. Please do. Today, on Father's Day. Camp, the floor is yours.
You know, and also, hey, listen, man, we want to spend a special shout out to all of you men that may fall under those umbrellas that are just trying to be dads, but you're not as fly with the moms because just, hey, leading, piggybacking right off of what Bang said. They're making everything about themselves, but you know you're putting in the work. You know you're trying hard. I'm going to leave you with some words that my cousins, Spike, and Vero had said to me a couple months ago, never get tired of doing the right thing. So to all of you men that are trying to be the best fathers that you can be, man, we salute to y'all, man. And, you know, watch that reckless skeeting. It could get dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yes, you can.
Hey, but thank you. Thank you all for tuning in to the show today. Your engagement, your participation in the streams, your likes, comments, shares. Even though I haven't been seeing them lately, man, I do know that you're doing it. And I do know that we do appreciate you for what you do. Man, it couldn't be said any greater, man. You being a part of the FBC community makes it that much more special, and that we graciously and gratefully and sincerely thank you. So, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast, Pick, VP, DOC, and We Are Out. I hate I Quit matches, by the way.
Well, I thought you was going to go in the normal direction. But they didn't win the belt. So,
see,
it works out for you.
Yeah, they agree. Fuck Johnny Wrestling. You know what I mean?